Hello everybody, this is Jam from Fragdolls UK and I'm speaking to Colonel John Antal, who has an extremely impressive profile, may I say. We're talking about Brothers in Arms Earned in Blood, and Colonel Antal, actually, would you like to explain what exactly it is you work with on the Brothers in Arms games?
Yes, I'd be happy to. And first, let me tell you how excited I am to do this interview with you, and how I look forward to talking with people who enjoy playing our game. We're very proud of our game, and I'm very excited that as a veteran of the U.S. Army for 30 years, I've had a chance to bring this kind of authenticity and history to this interactive entertainment medium.
I mean, I've got your profile in front of me, and when I first read it, I must say I was extremely impressed. I mean, 30 years experience in the Army, and what, you served in Kuwait?
Yes, I've been all over the world. The U.S. Army has a wonderful way of allowing you to see different countries and go different places, usually with tanks. But I joined the Army in 1973. I was a cadet at the United States Military Academy. Mm-hmm. And went to West Point for 4 years, and graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in engineering and a sort of an auxiliary degree in history. And then immediately deployed to Germany, where I was a tank platoon leader during the Cold War on the East German border, and served in tanks in Germany for 4 years in the 3rd Armored Division when we were in a very dangerous time during the Cold War with the Soviet bloc and Warsaw Pact and tanks and everyone up on the border, and the possibilities of war during that time were very real. People forget today how dangerous the Cold War was. I lived the life of a soldier during those years, and many, many times we deployed with full ammunition ready to fight up on the border, thinking that the crisis was about to unfold, and luckily it never did.
Wow.
So, that was my first experiences in the Army, was in Germany. And, of course, as a tank commander, I'd also been to paratroop school, so I'd been a paratrooper, and went through the U.S. Army Ranger course, so I'm a Ranger, so I'm what they call an airborne Ranger. That made me one of the guys that they picked to be scout platoon leader and cavalry reconnaissance leader and things like that. So I was in the cutting edge of the U.S. Army and the elite forces of the U.S. Army Tank Corps, and just very proud to have served and worked with some great soldiers over the years.
I mean, part of the thing that's just so fascinating to me, and I'm sure I do speak for my generation, is that we've grown up in a very comfortable environment. I mean, the closest that I've experienced of war is, of course, the war in Iraq. But, I mean, really, I've led a very comfortable upbringing. I've never experienced anything like you must have experienced, and it's so hard when you look at games like Brothers in Arms and films. It's just really hard. You have to keep on telling yourself that this actually happened, but it's just impossible to relate. I don't think that you can relate unless you've been through it.
Well, that's true, and it's difficult to explain to people, you know, the life of a soldier and the danger and all the other things that you have to go through, but it's also gratifying to veterans like me that we have been able to make the world a better place. What World War II tells us, I think, which is a very compelling lesson never to forget, is that freedom isn't free, and that sometimes when evil is allowed to rise, good men and good women have to take a stand against evil. And that's what we did in World War II, and in many cases we've done it over and over again. When you see the situation in the world today and you say, oh, you know, things are bad, always remember that things could have been much, much worse. I mean, imagine if in 1944, this is the time period that we talk about in Brothers in Arms and in fact, Brothers in Arms, Earned in Blood, and also Road to Hill 30. Imagine in 1944, if Hitler had been able to stop the Allied invasion. The Allies were chopped up on the beaches and the invasion had failed. It would have taken a year for the Allies, the American, British, and Canadians, to put together another invasion. And in that year, it is very likely that Nazi Germany would have had nuclear weapons, at least atomic weapons, and it is also very likely, since they had excellent rockets already firing in June 1944, the V-1, and later on in August 1944, the V-2 bomb, that they could have launched those rockets with impunity from Germany against Russian and British targets.
I mean,
and it would have been a really horrible world if you could imagine how that would have changed. So we are very lucky, I think,
Yeah.
And every time I see a veteran, I always go up and thank him because I say the freedom we have today is because of what your sacrifice was.
Exactly. I mean, I found it really touching when I was watching the making of Brothers in Arms 1 that you and the Gearbox team actually attended the 60th anniversary celebrations.
It was for us, it was a very great opportunity to talk to veterans and also to show people how much we care about the story of their sacrifice and how we want to keep it alive. And one of the things I'm doing now here in Normandy is working with a really super crew called Foglight Film Production Crew, and we're going to create a movie for the History Channel, 2-hour film, that will tell the story of D-Day. And one of the things they'll do is they'll use our game to show some of the small unit combat that occurred. Yeah, it's a really exciting project, and
yeah.
I've been working on this now here in Normandy for the last week, and I will do this for the most of next week. We're filming reenactors, we're filming veterans, we're filming French citizens who saw the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
We're then going to incorporate our game into this so that you can see some of the most important small unit engagements of D-Day, and some of these have never really been told before because the camera crews were not available to take film during the battle. I mean, battle's dangerous. You can only have so many people taking film.
Obviously.
Everyone's seen the old World War II film. This is going to be, you know, seeing the history in a new, unique, exciting way.
Fascinating. I mean, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, how do you feel about games being made about real wars? I mean, from my perspective, I almost find it slightly morbid in a way. And when I first researched Earned in Blood, I was very hesitant because a lot of war games, they're very sensationalized and they're very glossy. And I almost find it insulting that people are gaining pleasure out of something where thousands and thousands of people died. But one of the things that really impressed me when I was learning about just the Brothers in Arms series was just how much research you've done into this game.
Yes, we've really done our homework and we really try to get it right. And your question is really a very important and essential question.
Mm.
And I think that most people with good hearts, you know, say that war should not be represented in games for what they think are really good reasons. But here's another way to view it. You know, war is very serious, very deadly, and something that we don't want to have. We want to stop war.
Mm.
We want to have peace in the world. The reason I was a soldier was so that I could have an opportunity to lead American soldiers and try to change that so we didn't have a war. And to be in part of the Cold War where if we had not shown that we were willing to fight for what we believed in, we would have lost our freedom. By standing tall and by doing what we did, we were able to end the war without some of the tremendous bloodshed that another world war would have caused. And you can't even imagine how horrific a World War III would have been in 1985 or 1990 between the Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact, and the West. That would have been absolutely unbelievable.
Mm.
So luckily, we were able to do that. And part of the reason that we were able to do that was because good people stood up and said, no, we won't let this happen.
Mm.
We kind of learned the lesson from World War II. So now the question is that, can you tell this story? Well, let me think about this. Could you make a movie about war? People go to a movie about war because they want to see courage. And they want to see the story that really happened. Can you write a book about war? You know, mankind has written books about war since the beginning of writing. And part of that is because if you do not understand the cost of war and the self-sacrifice that is necessary in order to preserve the things that you hold dear, your family, your country, your freedom, then you, what stories do you tell to reinforce to people that there are some things worth defending? And so when you look at a video game, you say, okay, the game industry is relatively young, and many people believe that games are frivolous and therefore they're just silly and they're for kids. Our game is for adults. It's sold all over the world to adult audiences, a little bit different ages in different countries because they have different views on how old people should be. Children are not authorized to buy this game in any country of the world. And so when it says it has an adult rating and we want to make drama, which is what a good war movie is about, which is what a good war novel or a good war story is about. You know, we want to make drama. It's almost interesting that some people say you don't have the right to make drama in the interactive entertainment field. Interactive entertainment video game is a growing way to experience things that you normally wouldn't experience and possibly don't want ever to experience. What I want to be able to do is create interactive entertainment that works like a time machine. I mean, think about the possibility of being able to go back and actually experience a period of history that you could never go back and experience in any other way. D-Day is like that. And how do you tell the story of D-Day, and how do you tell the story of World War II, which was 61 years ago? And that's just when it ended. You know, how do you tell that story to a generation of people who don't normally read history? How do you create a interactive entertainment format that is not only exciting and challenging and something that people want to engage in, but also treats the subject matter right? And that was our goal.
I mean, we all get taught history at school, and you plow through all of these history books, and a lot of the time it's very boring. You can't really get the feel for what you're reading, whereas games, by their very nature, are extremely interactive. And
exactly. And for instance, chess is a war game. I mean, chess was a game that was developed centuries ago in almost all cultures. And it's interesting. In Japan, they have Go. In Korea, they have Paduk. These are all war games. And chess is a war game. You don't see many people saying, you know, chess is evil because pawns are being killed and everything else. But the thing about video games is that for many years, when you look back at the beginning games, I mean, everything from Pong to, you know, other games that were fantasy games, the game industry has really evolved off of the fantasy line. Many, many of the games are science fiction or vampire killing and things like that. Those are all great games, and they offer you some wonderful opportunities. But what about that entire group of people who really want to experience drama, who want a compelling story, who want a compelling story and want to know what it was like to lead men in combat? We can't show you exactly what it's like, and we don't want you to be in combat. But to give you a little bit of the experience of that, just a glimpse, and also to see the kind of self-sacrifice and the difficulty and the leadership and how tough this all is and why we should avoid wars, but how we also can't give in to evil. We think that's kind of a neat challenge. And that's what drama does. Now, we don't want to go overboard in telling history. We want it to be a fun game. But we think we're handling the subject properly. And I'm really impressed that many of the veterans who have seen this have said, you know, this is exactly what we need to do. We really need to have this.
I mean, it's wonderful that you've actually got feedback from the veterans about it, because that's one of the things I was going to ask you. I mean, how do people with your experience feel about this kind of game? And I think the thing that sets Brothers in Arms apart from a lot of war games is that it's not just mindless violence. I mean, your research into the previous Brothers in Arms games has been very well documented. And I mean, you know, with the whole Gearbox going out on a training mission and all of the research into weaponry.
In fact, we just got back from another training mission in June. We had our second field training exercise in June. We had the first one in 2002 in October. We had the second one in 2005 in June. We had 60 software developers out there with 8 well-trained military soldiers who I handpicked, who became the cadre to train them how to be in a squad and how to fire weapons and how to maneuver and they actually drove tanks. I had 30 tanks involved in the exercise. So it was
my word, God, that must have been a sight to behold.
It was quite an interesting thing to keep everybody safe and focused, and we did. It was well done. But the point is that you're right. You have to do your homework if you want to get this right. You know, if you think that it's important to show drama and heroism and sacrifice and why all this sometimes has to happen in a movie, then you should be able to do it in the interactive experience.
I think part of the reason why video games get such bad press is because it is a relatively new media, and it's just human nature to be very hesitant about something that is so interactive and it is so new. I mean, like you said, video games have moved on, and there's still so much that they can do. I mean, a lot of them are still quite childish in some regards, and I think that's right. I think in some regards that people are almost scared of them to appeal to adults. Something that's serious, that's got something to say, I think is naturally going to make people nervous.
Well, I guess they were nervous when they saw movies and when they saw books. You know, this is a new art form, a new entertainment medium that someday will blossom into a holistic experience, where you will put on your goggles or your suit or go into a room and you'll be transported back into time and space, into whatever period that you want, and you'll be able to put yourself in a story. And that's what we did. we put you in a story. Now, what are the most compelling dramatic stories? We could make a game about growing rice, and you could be a farmer and watch the rice grow. And no one would complain about that.
Mm.
But it is also something that you can do today. And it's also not something that most people want to play in a game. When you think about what the stories in movies are about, what the stories in books are about, they're about dramatic, compelling action, and they're also about dramatic feelings. And so if you want to make a true history, if you want to make a historical fiction, if you want to make the ability to go back into time and see this, then you have to do your homework and do it right. It has to be authentic. And we're reaching toward that. And I think someday, what you're going to see as this improves, as the technology improves, that the interactive entertainment industry will completely overwhelm the passive entertainment industry. I would rather be active than passive. Yeah, now and then I like to sit down and just listen to music. Sometimes I'd like to watch a movie, certainly. But I also like to be active. I'd like to do things. I like to challenge my capabilities against other people, and I like to play war games, and I like to look at strategy games, you know, and those kind of things. And those things are compelling to almost all people.
Mm. I mean, was part of your aim to get that authenticity into Earned in Blood, is that the reason why you included real-life characters in your game, such as SLA Marshall?
Yes, exactly. I mean, you cannot tell the history and not be true to the history. But if you tell the history of one person who is a true historical figure, then you must tell their true historical story, and therefore it's hard to be interactive because it's linear. So we create a historical fiction within true history by giving you a squad of fictional characters that are authentic and actually based on true characters who can allow you to be in their boots and to witness what they witness and make decisions that they made.
And I think the kind of game that you produce also definitely reflects the kind of fans that you get. I mean, I've been on various message boards seeing what fans are saying about Earned in Blood and other and the previous Brothers in Arms title, and they are extremely loyal and extremely passionate about these games, and they genuinely care about the characters. They know all the characters by name. They're not just mindless people that are just there to get shot at, essentially. And I think that it's partly thanks to the fact that it's clear that you and the Gearbox team are also very passionate about it. You're very passionate about tactical warfare in general.
I'm a soldier, you know, and I see this all through the eyes of a soldier who's been a soldier for 30 years and realizes the cost of war, but also realizes the cost of slavery and the cost of not being able to live in a world where you have rights and you have individual freedoms. Those things had to be earned. When you think about it, the history of the world, humankind has primarily lived in slavery. And up to about 240 years ago, there weren't many countries in the world where you had any rights. You were primarily a person who, rights could be taken away at the whim of any king or despot who was in charge. And if you look back at the history of humankind, you know, this experiment that we now call Western, you know, democracy is relatively new. It's a blip on the radar screen of human history. And, so we think that, D-Day in particular was a very compelling, very dramatic, story worth retelling. And today, for instance, I just met a veteran. Just a few minutes ago, in fact, before you called, it was about an hour before you called, I met a veteran who was in the Navy, the U.S. Navy, who had been on the U.S. Arkansas battleship, who had fired on German positions in defense of the Rangers who had assaulted the Pointe du Hoc. This is an unbelievably dramatic story of Rangers who scaled the sheer cliff to knock out German guns and didn't have any support except for the Navy battleships, and the battleships supported them very well. And this man in his mid-80s was there to revisit the Normandy area that he had seen as a young man. And he saw me in the field, and I had an M5 Stuart tank, a real tank, and all these reenactors in World War II uniform reenacting the movie scenes that we're doing. And he walked up, and he watched us for 30 minutes and took photos, and then I went over and interviewed him, and I said, thank you for coming, and I just thanked him for his service. You know, there are people who are very cynical who say, you know, nothing matters. And I'll tell you that in my life, I have learned that things matter. Some things are worth fighting for.
I mean, like I said, people of my generation, we've led a very comfortable existence, and it's just, I think it's not so much ignorance. I think, like I said, sometimes it's just impossible to understand what it's like unless you've been through it. I mean, what drove you to sign up for the army in the first place? I mean, why leave such a comfortable lifestyle to go into such an incredible job?
Well, I always wanted to be a soldier. I read a lot when I was a child. My mother had been in the U.S. Air Force, and my father had been in the Marine Corps. And although they served just during the Korean War and got the GI Bill, which was a way to go to college, and went to college, and I was born in college, they were all out of the military when I was born, they nonetheless had this great pride of service. And that rubbed off on me, and that was my goal, to be an officer in the United States Army and to try to do my little bit to try to make the world better. And I'll tell you what, the generation that we have now is just as good as the greatest generation of World War II, because just a few years ago, I was leading American soldiers and working with British soldiers who are younger than you, younger than you.
Wow.
And they were some of the greatest people on earth. And I will tell you that the generation we have today is as good as any generation we've ever had, and we should be very proud of that. Now, luckily, war has changed, and we don't need mass armies where everyone has to be in the military. In World War II, we had to have many, many people in the military to do things.
Hmm.
Now we need fewer people in the military, which is good. But we still shouldn't forget that this is all a team effort, and that none of this came easy. And a lot of people had to sacrifice for the freedoms that we have today. And so in our story, you know, without flag waving or without trying to say that, you know, war is good, war is evil, we know that. But there's worse things, quite frankly, than war. People say, how can you say that? Well, I mean, if someone was attacking your family, would you defend yourself? Would you defend your family? And if the answer to that is yes, then some things are worth fighting for. And if you take a little bit larger view, you realize that there are many things that need to be protected, and that there's some people in the world who are just out to either forget what you have or to be so evil as to just try to take away your rights or make you believe a certain way.
Mm.
So what we've done in our game is to try to show this compelling World War II situation, which we think is again the most dramatic period of the 20th century, that if it had gone the wrong way, would have made our world today a very dark place. And give you this time machine that allows you to go back and experience it.
Very true. I mean, do you find it, has it been difficult to adjust for you since you left the Army?
The game world is a little different than the Army, I would think, a little bit. But what's interesting is that I love meeting creative people, and I love people in general. I think you can't be a soldier without loving people. I mean, you know, there are certain people in the world who don't like people, and I've never liked those people. You know, they seem to be very unhappy. I love to meet people and to get to know people, and we have some very talented, very, very brilliant designers in Gearbox Software. And
I got to say, it was really nice seeing how passionate some of the Gearbox staff were. I mean, in particular, the president, Randy Pitchford,
yes.
He was just so enthralled by all of it. It was just wonderful to watch.
Well, I think Randy's the Bill Gates of games, let me tell you. I mean, I think this guy is he's bringing games to a new level. And the other partners in Gearbox and the whole team are just a delight to work with. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, every now and then there's these silly frustrations, but, you know, that's just because sometimes my world was so different than theirs. For instance, this guy would come up to me and say, "Hey, dude," and I look at him and go, "I'm not a dude." So it's just little things that are funny, but we get over those. We have some really interesting times, and putting this game together is a lot of very hard work, but also something that we find, we're very passionate about. And when you're working your passion, it's fun.
And I think the passion definitely shows through what you're working with.
Well, we hope it does, and we hope that all our fans, you know, realize that these games are not easy, and they're not perfect by any means. We always look back at them and go, "God, we should have done this, we should have fixed this." But you eventually have to ship a game, you know, and we make them as good as we can within the time that we have. We're very, very excited about both Road to Hill 30 and Earned in Blood, and we look forward to the next one.
Oh, is there a next one in the pipeline? I know it's very early
days. You know, if I said anything, you know, it would be top secret. So all I can say is that stand by for news.
Ah, well, we can but hope. I mean, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. I do appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, and I really appreciate the interview.
And I have to say, I mean, just researching this whole subject has opened my eyes to a lot of things. I was very pessimistic about war games and the depiction of war in general, but when you see how much care and attention and effort goes into these games and how important it is to represent the people who actually went through it, you realize that some of the games just aren't mindless violence. Some of them are genuinely trying to tell a story and almost be educational.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We did not want to just have a shooter in World War II uniform like some other games.
Mm.
So we tried very hard to create a compelling story. We tried very hard to talk about the brotherhood of soldiers, and we worked very hard to make it authentic and to use real tactics, because real tactics are the most challenging mental game anybody could ever have.
Mm.
And so you put all that combination together, and we found out that we found many people that really enjoyed it.
I mean, you study all kinds of history, am I correct? I mean, I think I
yes.
heard you
yes.
discussing Roman warfare not too long
ago. Yes, I am very interested in ancient Rome, and I've tried to convince Randy into creating a first-person stabber, but he told me that's too hard right now.
It's funny, I actually finished reading a book about Roman burials and Roman gladiators, and
yes.
very impressive, but also incredibly terrifying. Just, they almost made death an art form. It was on such a massive
yes.
scale.
Yes, the Roman Empire and the events that led up to the fall of the Republic and the Empire and all of that are really fascinating, because it is a story of good and evil, a story of right and wrong, and this compelling, almost very ultra-dramatic episodes in the history of Rome that just are lessons for us today. It's really interesting. If you know a little bit about history, your world becomes so much enlarged.
It does.
You know, history is the study of people,
mm.
and people are important. And people have changed over the years, but they haven't changed dramatically.
Mm.
You know, Roman people fought a little bit differently than us, but nonetheless, they were people much like us. And there's lessons to be learned from that. So if any of our fans and any of our customers actually get a feeling that they should read some history because they played Brothers in Arms games, then I'm just very gratified, because I think their world gets better when they know a little bit about what happened before.
Mm. And I think it also puts your life in a better context when you realize that our lives are incredibly short and we're just dots on the great landscape of history.
I totally agree. When I was in very tough times, and I've been in some very tough times, I would think about the histories that I've read of people who were in much tougher times, and I said, this isn't that bad. And that got me through. And I think that kind of education is valuable.
And I think it's wonderful that you're still carrying on your work outside of the Army doing things like this.
Well, I'm having a great time. And one of my friends here from Gearbox, Steve Palmer, was working with me today as I was standing on top of a tank directing soldiers. And he looked up at me and said, boy, you're loving this, aren't you?
Who couldn't love a tank? So, let's face it.
That's right. Well, there's only one thing better than a tank.
What's that?
Two tanks.
Very, very true. Well, do you have any idea when this film will be out? Is it?
Yes, we're going to deliver it in December, and it should be out shortly after that, but the exact air date hasn't been announced yet.
On the History Channel.
That's correct. The U.S. History Channel. And I don't know when that means it would be in the U.K. or when it would be on the Western, in the European History Channel, but probably shortly after that.
Okay, well, we will keep an eye out for it. And again, thank
you. Well, great, and I hope they enjoy it.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and hope to speak to you again soon, and good luck for the future.
Well, thank you very much.